She's hungry, so we're going to go extra long tonight. Also, I want to make an announcement that if it's your birthday and you feel like bringing cake and ice cream for everybody, we won't be offended. All right? I mean, I just want to make it clear, this is not just for something for Adrian and I, our birthdays, but, you know, it's, you're more than welcome to dude it out, all right, on birthday day.
Like 2 hours ago, you were cutting back on sugar. Yeah.
Well, I didn't say, you know, but we're in church, right?
Yeah. You
know, what was it? Apostle Paul said that we can pray and it be sanctified, right? So we maybe not. Okay, that's a stretch, isn't it? But anyway, you know what? You just bless your little pea-picking heart. You can bring in as much cake and as ice cream as you want, if it's your birthday or kid's birthday or whatever. And I'm pretty sure that we won't have anybody offended about it. So anyway, hallelujah. Well, we are going to talk about greatest in the kingdom tonight. And it's funny because we were just talking about, we were praying for the kids earlier. And I'm going to share some things with Jesus spoke about. But let's turn to Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. Matthew 18, verse 1. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't see anybody sneaking the score from the Iowa State game tonight, too, right? I was kind of concerned about, like, people going, like, and then all of a sudden, you know, I'd hear, like, yeah!
Right. Dude! I remember this super
ass Gary. Yeah, well, you missed. Sorry about that. You dodged a bullet.
Yeah.
So anyway, Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. And this is so great, before we start tonight, it's reinforced that it's very important to read things in context, right?
Yeah.
As we go through this. And Christians, we're very good about taking scriptures out and standing on something, but we don't read the qualification before and after. And we don't read things in context. And then we get discouraged because things don't work out for us. But Matthew chapter, and this is, I'm reading the Amplified Classic, and it says, at that time, the disciples came up and asked Jesus, who then is really the greatest in the kingdom of God? And he called a little child to himself and put him in the midst of them. And he said, truly I say to you, unless you repent, change, turn about, and become like little children, trusting, lowly, loving, forgiving, you can never enter the kingdom of heaven, here we go, at all. Whoever will humble himself, therefore, and become like this little child, what do we say? Trusting, loving, lowly, forgiving, is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Here we go. And whoever receives and accepts and welcomes one little child like this for my sake and in my name receives and accepts and welcomes me. So Jesus here outlines who's going to be great in the kingdom, right? It's kind of opposite of what we see on all the TV channels, right?
Yeah.
All the, well, if you don't have, and that's, I don't know what it is, but there's just something so alluring about, you know, whether I've got this huge ministry and it's just so, you know, this marks whether I'm successful or not. And there are some things in that, and I'm not going to discount people for that. But really, when I read the words of Jesus, really the humble people, the lowly people, the forgiving, the trusting, those, what's that mean? It just means we're relying on him, doesn't it? We are solely, completely relying on him, like a child does. Keep your finger there, but I'm going to read out of Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. And I want to kind of go the other way. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 14 says, for the whole law, again, I'm going to read an Amplified Classic, all you people who, I didn't read the King James, so are you proud of me? Huh? Huh? What do some of those people say? It's not that they're flip-floppers, but they're evolving, right? That's the new catch buzz, the new buzzword for all the political people, right? It's like, well, I'm evolving. Been around since, what, the 70s or whatever, Amplified, so been around a while. But so we read here, and it says, for the whole law concerning human relationships is compiled within the one precept, you shall what? Love your neighbor as you do yourself. Verse 15, if you bite and devour one another in a partisan strife, interesting how it says partisan strife, be careful that you and your whole fellowship are not consumed by one another. I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit, then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh of the human nature without God. Here we go. I'm going to get into some of the, it says for verse 17, for the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are what? Opposed to the flesh. Godless human nature, for these are antagonistic to each other. Is it kind of just the opposite of what we just read, right? Antagonistic.
Yeah.
Jesus spoke of forgiving, loving, and lowly, right? Interesting, and to each other, continually withstanding in the conflict with each other, so that you are not free, but are prevented from doing what you desire. Here we go. But if you are guided, led by the Holy Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now, the doings, practices of the flesh are clear and obvious. They are, we're going to go through this list, immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, ill-tempered, selfish, divisions, dissensions also, party spirit. Interesting that, right? Party spirit, it doesn't mean, hey, we're going to get, you know, we're going to party down. It means what? You're of this group and I'm of this group and we can't talk to you.
Yeah.
Sounds a little bit like what we're in right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's called the flesh, by the way.
Yeah.
It's a work of the flesh. Some people like it.
Yeah.
Fractions, sex with peculiar opinions and heresies, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you before, just as you did previously, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's an opposite list of what Jesus said. Jesus said if we're like children, then we'll inherit the kingdom of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we're humble, lowly, it's a completely different attitude, isn't it? Now, verse 22, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit, or we could say the byproducts of the Holy Spirit, right? Now, these are the attributes of someone that is born again. Now, there's the fruits of the Spirit, and there's also the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are in operation when you become baptized in the Holy Spirit. You can walk in those. Actually, I've walked in pretty much just about all the gifts of the Spirit before I became a pastor. People say, well, that's just a byproduct of, or, you know, Brother Hagin teaches and it is good. There are, and the gifts of the Spirit, we're not going to go there tonight. But in the gifts of the Spirit, you know, there are certain ministry gifts that they kind of line up with some of those, right? Brother Hagin always had words of wisdom, words of knowledge. He was a prophet. We see evangelists. What do? Gifts of healings, right? Missionaries. So there's certain things often, but we don't have to be limited by that. I don't believe God goes, well, you're this and you're this, and we categorize you by this and we categorize you by that. No, it just, you know what? When something needs done, the Holy Spirit's going to show up and help take care of it,
yes.
Right? I don't think we have to coagulate and calculate. No, just be open to the Holy Spirit. So these are the attributes that the Holy Spirit we should have in us when we're born again. And it says, verse 22, in the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes, what is love, joy or gladness, peace, patience, and even tempered, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness. Interesting, isn't it? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Now, the King James says faith, but faithfulness, that's a godly attribute, isn't it? Sure is nice to have people who are faithful to you. Restraint, self-control, and then against such there's no law. Now, I want to kind of talk a couple of things. Again, Jesus said in Matthew that to become great in the kingdom is to be like a child, trusting, lowly, loving, and forgiving. Now, Paul tells us, we just read in Galatians, verse 17, for the desires of the flesh are what? Opposed to the Holy Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh. Bump down back to Matthew chapter 18, verse 6. So turn back to Matthew chapter 18, verse 6. So you can see where, and let's just boil it down to this. Jesus talks about becoming a child. And again, just because you know we become Christians, it doesn't mean we shut our brains off, right? Well, I'm just going to be led by the Spirit. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to walk across the street, right? No, God gave us eyeballs for a reason, right? He gave us a mind to be able to do math, to be able to, you know, think about things, go to school, or what have you. You know, there is a purpose for our mind. The Apostle Paul says that we need to have our minds renewed. And we also see that there in 2 Thessalonians 5:23, that the Apostle Paul tells those at Thessalonica that what? That there is a spirit, a soul, and what? A body. And so each one is important. The body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. We need to renew our mind daily. And what does we need to feed our spirit man? By reading the Word of God. And also, too, Jesus, if we're born again, I just like there in later in Matthew, Jesus uses the word regeneration in the King James. So Jesus takes care of our spirit by we're born again, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We put our flesh under, according to Romans 12:1-2. And what do? We renew our mind in Romans 12:1-2, right? So each one of our aspects of our human nature or every element, there's something that we need to do and that God's done for us. So Matthew chapter 18, verse 6, it says, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in and acknowledge and cleaves to me to stumble and to sin, that is who entices him or hinders him in right conduct or thought, it will be better or more expedient and profitable or advantageous for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be sunk into the depth of the sea. Woe to the world for such temptations to sin and influences do wrong. It is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the person on whose account or by whom the temptation comes. Verse 8. And if your hand or foot causes you to stumble in sin, cut it off and throw it away from you. It is better, more profitable, and wholesome for you to enter life maimed or lame than to have two hands or two feet and to be thrown into everlasting fire. If your eye causes you to stumble in sin, pluck it out, throw it away after you. It is better, more profitable and wholesome for you to enter life with only one eye rather than two eyes and be thrown into hell or fire. So it seems a little bit extreme. You're like, wow, isn't it great to read scripture in church? I know it's a novel idea, right? Let's read scripture in church. We were just talking about that before church. But I've got friends of mine, they're great preachers and everything, and it's like, I've listened to some of them. There's like not one scripture read. And I'm like, why are we showing up again? I'm sorry. Part of it. Aren't we supposed to read some scripture? And it's amazing how, you know, if you just sit down and read the Bible, it'll interpret itself. Right? I mean, you just need to just read the Bible, just catalog right along, just read it. And you'll learn a lot of things and things will fall into place for you just by reading the Bible. It's interesting because when you read the Bible, you're thinking, well, you know, when Jesus fed the people and he broke, well, which time? Did it twice. Right? Do you remember reading how Jesus was translated a few times in the Bible? Did you miss that? Read your Bible. It says in there after he calmed the storm and walked on water, and it says, and then immediately he was on the other side of the shore. Did you catch that? Mm-hmm. Nobody talked about that stuff, right? No. We just talk about, you know, Philip the evangelist. He's down there and he, you know, in the book of Acts, and all of a sudden he's translated. Jesus was too. You just have to read it and you just have to kind of go, okay, it happened, right? And he fed people more than once. You always say, well, we went and fed the 5,000. Well, really, because he fed another 3,000 later on. He did it twice. He fed people supernaturally, right? It's interesting, just so we just read the Bible, we're going to start seeing things in there that maybe you haven't seen before, right? Just read the Bible. I know it's a crazy thought. As a Christian, just read the Bible. But when you get in and dig into the Bible, you just start seeing things. You're like, I didn't notice that before. Yeah. All kinds of cool stuff Jesus did, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. It's amazing how the religious people want to say, we want to be like Jesus. Okay, well then, start doing the stuff like Jesus, right? So we put things into context here. I want to kind of break this down a little bit. We got 3 more hours tonight. Here's some stomachs growling over here. I'm kidding. I haven't talked about food yet. All right, you're all. I said stomach growling, but that's right. Well, I did mention cake and ice cream too, did I? That slipped out again, right? So to put it in context, if we're not walking with the innocence of a child in faith towards the Lord, such as like if we do, you know, the works of the flesh, like in Galatians chapter 5, not only will you hinder yourself, but you can hinder other people. See, if we're not walking like Jesus, and really what it is just dependence. I like to use that word dependence. If we're not dependent on him, things will not work out, right? And it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't mean that we shut our brain off because God gave us a brain, he gave us eyes, he gave us these things. Now, we go back and people say things like, well, I need to pluck my eye out. I need to start chopping my arms off. I need to start doing these things. Now, wait a minute here. Let's take a step back. Number one, your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. All right? Well, I'm not asking anybody to mutilate your body, but what I am saying is, we look at this, take this and cut things out of your life that are going to cause you to stumble. Right? Cut things out. and it's kind of like too. I mean, we as parents, you know, we definitely have responsibility, and I believe parents should have the freedom to parent your children the way you want to. But that also comes with responsibility, right? And we see those things too. You know, too extreme. You know, the extremes on parenting. We've got helicopter parents, and then we got, you know, like when I grew up, all of us that were growing up, I was like, all right, we'll see you whenever tonight. As kids, you know, you just get out and run around, and you're just crazy. You're all over the place, you know. Just show up when it's dark. You see the lights on. You're like, I probably should go home. It's like, you know, like 10 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night, Saturday on a summertime. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. I want to read a few more, but it says in verse 18, it says, truly I say unto you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in earth, in heaven, excuse me. Verse 19, and again I tell you, if two of you agree on earth, harmonize together, make a symphony together about whatever, anything, and everything they may ask, it will come to pass and it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For wherever two or three are gathered, drawn together as my followers into my name, there am I in midst of them. Now I want to stop there for a moment. The beginning of that, we see that what does Jesus say? He says, number one, see, because we take this in Scripture. I'm going to read out of the King James because I'm a lot of us are familiar with it. I read it in the Amplified Classic, 1818, and it says, truly I say unto you that whoever shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So again, whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you will loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So what are you talking about? Authority. Taking your authority. Verse 19, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of our Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, There am I in the midst of them. I want to stop here for a moment. Now, this is a powerful scripture, a very powerful scripture. You know, we have used this, Adrian and I have used this, people in the church, we've used this, and we've agreed on things. There are different types of prayer. There are prayer that you do by yourself in your closet. There's different types of speaking in tongues. We can do it publicly. We can do it in private time. Prayer, this is what we call corporate prayer. What that means is two or more together, so you're there together. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas had corporate prayer in Acts chapter 13 and Acts chapter 16. So we see corporate prayers all over the place in the Bible. But the prerequisite of this is what? What did Jesus just spend the entire time teaching on before he got to this point? Being like a child in the kingdom.
Yes.
Being like a child in the kingdom. And I'm just saying this, prayer of agreement, it's not going to be produced unless we do the prerequisite that Jesus spent so much time teaching about. Now, sometimes we do see results and we do believe these things, but what does it mean? When we go to prayer, in verses 18, 19, and 20, if we're trying to figure it out on our own and we're, you know, full of pride and we've got it all figured out, how is God going to come in and do anything for us? If we are not humble, lowly, forgiven, and forgiving, how is this going to work for us? It's not. We see that in the prayer of faith in Mark chapter 16, verse 20 through 26. Jesus just got done cursing the tree, and then he comes back and he says, hey, when I, you know, because the disciples noticed it. I'm not going to go there, but you can read Mark chapter 16. What happened was Jesus overthrew the tables, the money changers in the temple. He went out. He saw a fig tree that wasn't producing fruit. And he says, this day, you know, nobody's going to eat any fruit from that tree ever again. And you see the disciples going, nothing happened yet. Right? Because it says they watched to see what happened. And then what happened right after? They came back the next day. And what's Peter going? Hey, that tree's dead. Yeah, looky there. And then Jesus launches into this teaching. Well, Jesus spoke something at the fig tree at that time. What Jesus had and the thing he spoke, it was done at that time when he spoke it. That tree was dying at that point. Didn't see the result until the next day. What was he doing when he spoke it? He knew that he had faith in the Father, and whatever he spoke and he believed, it's going to come to pass. Right here, the verse 18. We can bind things on earth. We can loose things in heaven. If we have multiple people together, we can pray and believe. But there's a prerequisite again. We've got to be humble. We've got to be like little children. What does that mean? That guess what? God's going to do it, and we don't have any ability to do these things. That's where faith comes in. You've got to understand, there's a God side of things, and there's a man side of things. And too many times, we get in the flesh, we're trying to do God's job, and things get screwed up. And then we're expecting God to do our job, and that doesn't work either. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. This is another scripture that we take way out of context, and I just preachers, we all twist it all over because we want to make sure that people give big offerings, and we want to make sure this. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured unto you again. I believe in this scripture. Absolutely. We were listening to a finance show this morning. Larry and I were getting ready to drink some coffee, and I was let the goofy dogs out and let them out, and they're doing their thing, and I'm making some coffee, and I'm listening to this finance thing, and you know, It's kind of like, that's the last thing I want to do is listen to finance stuff on the weekends. I was like, I don't want to listen to this stuff.
Sorry.
Right? Like, gosh, come on. Some listen to this stuff, and everybody's got all this. You need to do this for your money. Do this for your money. You need to do this for your money. I'm laughing, and I'm thinking, you know, there's just some times where you can cut and cut and cut and cut and cut, and it won't make any difference. You know? All these people, they're like, well, you need to get rid of these bills, and you need to pay this off, and you need to get rid of this debt, and you need to do this. And I'm like, oh, you haven't told anybody how to make money. You ever notice that? Everyone's talking about how much you give me your money. You give me your money, I'll invest it. Or you do this, or you need to pay this off. I'm going to say this. If you're making 10 bucks an hour, and you've got a wife, and you've got 3 kids, and you've got a house, and you got, it doesn't matter what you cut, you're not going to make it. And there's so many people and preachers, they just say, you're going to throw your money in a bucket, and everything's just going to magically become delicious, and everything's just going to be magically wonderful. And that is not biblical. It is not biblical. I got a lot of friends, a lot of people, that they have churches, and I believe in the Scripture. I believe in the Scripture. But we're deceived on some things when we take Scriptures out of context. And we only focus on one Scripture. And we make a pet doctrine of it. And I've been in churches before where people have their lights turned off and their gas turned off. And because they sit on this Scripture. And you're like, what are you talking? Well, I'm just telling you right now, you know, I mean, you know, of course, we just did this like about a month or two ago. We went through all our finances and just like, oops, I'm getting rid of that, getting rid of that, getting rid of that. Yeah. Got rid of. Just got rid of stuff we didn't need. It's like, you know. Yeah, so, you know, we know what the result's going to be. But, you know, that's the whole point. You know? I'm kidding. But anyway. But you know what? That doesn't solve my problem. Because you know what? You got to eat. Oh, I brought food again. I'm sorry, guys. You got to do these things, right? But see, we're not reading between the lines. We're not using a lot of wisdom on some things, are we? See how people focus on, again, what they want to focus on. I'm going to use one aspect. But there's other things the Bible talks about because the whole assumption is you've got something to give. See? That's the assumption. And for example, you know, like I said, ministries, but there's a lot of scriptures, even things like, you know, people over the years, they're like, oh, I'm you know, believing for this or I'm believing for that, you know. Sometimes it's a character issue is why you're not prospering, right? I know people, it's like they can't keep a job. They're never at the same place ever, you know, more than like, I don't know. Now, if you're wanting to get a new position or anything and better yourself, that's good. Some people don't want to better themselves, you know. Some people just aren't confident to step out to do new things. Sometimes you're just not gifted to do things. The Bible talks about your gift will make a way for you. Right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we need to humble ourselves and get people to help us. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Sometimes we just don't have things figured out on our own. Sometimes we just need to have other people speak. You know, the Bible talks about a multitude where there is a multitude of counsel, there is wisdom. Right? Can I just say this? You don't know what you don't know.
Yes.
I want to get from point A to point B. Well, are you doing anything about getting point A to point B? Now, do you have any goals? Right? Are you talking to people who've done it before? Are you doing these things? Right? Because the Bible is full of wisdom. It says, what are you doing? Right? And the Bible talks about little laying, little relaxing, little folding of the hands, little doing these things it's talking about. And you realize the people that rule this nation and everything, it says the diligent will rule. It didn't say the smart people will rule because we know that's true. Right? It just means the diligent. It just means the people who want it more sometimes and they're just willing to go after it. they get things sometimes. And I'm telling you what, we as a church, the body of Christ, we've got to wake up, you know, on some of these things. When I was a kid, it would just be like, oh, we're going to be raptured anytime soon. We're going to be out of here. We don't have to worry about this stuff, you know. I remember like the late 70s and early 80s and stuff. It was like, oh, we were just, oh, rapture's happening tomorrow. And everything was end times teaching. And it was either, you know, salvation or end times teaching. But we had no idea how to get healed, right? Everybody was broke. And, you know, but well, we're going to be raptured out of here tomorrow. Well, we're paying for it. Some people are just blaming everybody else for it, right? Somebody else's fault, somebody else's fault, somebody else's fault, somebody else's fault. And we're not prospering. Or we've been taught that we're, like, we, you know, take a scripture out of context, like, you know, money is the root of all evil. Well, no, it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. There's nothing wrong with having money. Actually, it's kind of a good thing. I'd rather give 10% of $1 million than 10% of $100.
Yes.
Right? It's all perspective, isn't it? $1 million might be tough for you to come up with, but Jeff Bezos is nothing. It's just all perspective, isn't it? But our perspective is like this, right? It's, you know, that's why this, you know, earlier we were praying for this building. You know, I mean, I'm thankful for it, but this isn't good enough. It's just not, right? Nothing bad, nothing wrong with this, but it's just, you know, we're believing for better. Mm-hmm. Like we had before, and better. Because we need what? We need facility for youth, praise and worship practice, other things we're going to be doing. There's all these things, possibilities, and things we're believing for, right? And it's going to have to take a bigger mindset. And sometimes we're not prospering because, again, we don't have a big enough vision and a big enough thing. We're just thinking too small. Right? Why in the world, you know, couldn't, you know, why do you have to work for somebody? Why couldn't you own something? Again, we're thinking too small. And so it goes back to, well, I'm just going to give. I'm going to throw some money in the bucket. Here's my whole thing. I'd rather have... My desire is to give a lot of money to the church, to help the church. But it sure would be nice to be able to donate and do what we were just talking about earlier. You know, my plan is, you know, I want to give to people in missions, right? I want to help, you know, these kids who want to go. Maybe they feel called to do missions. The gospel's free, but there is a price tag to get it from point A to point B, right? It does cost money. But also he said he'd supply all of our needs according to riches and glory. So there's two things going on. I was like, God, I'm going to expand my vision. I'm going to expand my thinking. I'm going to go bigger. Right? Right, Amy? Go bigger, go home. Right. See, I love it. I ripped it off from Amy. Okay. Go bigger, go home. So, you know, and also too, God can work with us, open doors and give us favor. Right? We can pray for favor. We can pray for ministering spirits to go out and help us. We can pray for these things. But again, just like us, you know, we're going out, we're doing, you know, street evangelism and things like that too. I mean, there's a God side and there's a man side. We've got to be doing our part, but we can also pray that God is going to work with us. Proverbs 13:20. Are you bored tonight? I'm not trying to beat you up tonight, but I'm saying I believe every person in here can think bigger, have bigger vision, right? Because there's people that are, get bitter and upset about giving to the church. Don't give to this church. It's going to be a problem. Give to somebody else. God will supply it. You know, we're not going to have a meltdown. You know? We want you to want to give to us. Because you believe in what we're doing. You believe in the message. You believe in the word. Amen. And people's like, well, you're just going to be blessed. Everything. I mean, your car's going to burst into flames. You don't pay your tithes. You're not going to... I mean, that's between you and God, right? But you know what I'd rather see you do? I'd rather you become so prosperous and blessed in your family that it's a blessing to give to the church.
Yes.
And it's not a burden. Mm-hmm. See, a lot of preachers, they don't care if it's a burden on you, and a lot of ministries and things like that, as long as you give. I have a little different aspect on that, a little different approach. You know what? I want you to be so prosperous on the front end that it feels good for you to, because you're so appreciative God has blessed you financially, you want to give to Him. Right? It should be a blessing and not a burden. You know? I don't mean to get real political, but I remember just watching a Trump video, and it's so interesting because I've never even heard a candidate ever say this before, and he said it, and I'm like, that was good. He said, I want you to do my campaign, but he goes, if you can't do it, I don't want you to, if money's tight. And I thought, that's good. I like that. You know, I just thought it was really good that you know, if you're wanting to do and support, again, things should be a blessing. And but here's also too, it tells your heart, if you don't care about giving to God or missions or doing things or trying to help the kingdom of God, and that's not in your heart, you don't want to make more money, you don't want to better yourself to be able to help other people, you kind of probably need to check your heart, right? Because what I want to do is, I don't want to just become blessed financially for myself, but what I'm going to do with it. Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursues sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. Here we go. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Here we go. And the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. I know I'm kind of getting off finances tonight. But you know what? I believe God wants... The Bible talks about having the desires of your heart. And there are things that God wants you to have things. And heaven is going to be fabulous. It's just so awesome, which I don't really care about the stuff in heaven. I just want to be around the people and Jesus. I mean, that's, I think, you know, because we get to heaven, I mean, none of that stuff, won't matter. You know, people are like, well, I want a huge mansion. And that's kind of in the flesh here, you know, because we're absorbed with these things. I believe when we get on the other side, you know, we're going to have nice things, but does it really matter? You just like, I mean, God, you know, I mean, the Lord's there and your loved ones and your friends and the people, that's really kind of all that matters, right? You know, not all that stuff's kind of icing the cake. But my point is that, you know, what is the purpose? I believe this, you know, purpose, prosperity without purpose is poverty. You know, I was listening to a basketball player, and he was talking about, because, you know, a lot of sports people, professional sports athletes, they get a bunch of money, and then about 80-90% of them are bankrupt within the next, you know, 3 to 5 years. Most of them go bankrupt because they don't know how to manage it, you know, and everything else too. And one of these basketball players that it was on a team, and he said one of the older, you know, guys that was on NBA with him years ago, and he said, how many cars do you have? And he says, I got like 6 cars. And he goes, why do you need 6 cars? And he says, well, I don't know. I mean, I'm making good money. He says, you know, this money won't last forever. And you got a short window. And you take at least 4 of those cars back and live off, because you're gonna have to plan this money. You're gonna have to do something the rest of your life. And I thought it was interesting, because it wasn't that he couldn't have those things and it wasn't important, but what it meant was, what's the purpose of this? You know, what is the purpose of prosperity and to help people is one. It doesn't mean you can't have anything and you should just, you know, live impoverished. But the point is, everything that we do, there should be outflow. There should be excess for other people. That was a, you know, when Jesus was was here, it was part of the law where the corners of the crops were left for the poor in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. And that was when Jesus was, you know, there was some left for people. Why? Because there was already outflow. Mm-hmm. But you know where it all begins? It all begins with being like childlike faith. Coming back to that reality that he's the one that provides, and it all is a sowing and reaping in our lives. He gives us blessings and we give back, and he gives back to us, and it's reciprocal in the kingdom. But we get things choked up when we don't focus on those things. Right? I don't want to be blessed just to be blessed and have another car and have this and have that. And those are nice things. But, you know, when you do some missions work, and some of you are going to be going soon, and you see poverty, and I remember one of my interpreters, sorry, we're closing here, and one more story and we'll close. But I remember just being over to Africa, and I had a God, I was going with Vidar. He said something about like, hey, you know, we know that our interpreter is wanting a Bible, like a reference Bible, so I got a Thompson chain, really nice leather-bound Thompson chain, took it over. And the interpreter wanted to pay me for it. Had nothing. I mean, I don't have anything there. So I took the money, gave him the Bible. He wasn't looking to stick it back in his bag, right? Because here's the thing, they won't accept no. Like they won't. And I knew, like, we go there, they want to carry my books, they want to carry my Bibles when I teach and everything, and I let them do it. I let them do it because it's a blessing. But when they're not watching, I'm doing things, right? And when you see those things, these people have nothing, they have no opportunity to buy the things that we have, they have no opportunity to even be able to order or do things. You know, what's another car? Right? What is it in the whole vast of everything, right? I mean, again, it's not that these things are bad, but it's just the whole, when you put things in perspective and see that things like, you know what, God, you bless me. I want to be so blessed financially. And it's not because I'm hoarding anything up, but it's like, I want to be able to, hey, pastor, I want to go on a missions trip. Here's a check. Right? Think about the pressure that's relieved from people to be able to help them fulfill God's call. Or the single mom that needs groceries. Right? Because I guarantee you, I've been there before. When Adrian and I have been there before, went to Raymond, we've done other things. It's just like, we have nothing. And God shows up. Everybody's really great about receiving the blessings, right? Praise God, he's going to give me good measures, pressed down, shaken together into my bosom. But when then God comes and traps on your shoulder and says, okay, I need you to... Was that God? I'm not sure. Right? It's always God when somebody's giving you something. You always notice that? It's like, you know what? I believe God led me to give you $1,000. You know what? Praise God. You're absolutely right. I believe it, brother or sister. And then all of a sudden God says, I need you to give them $500. It's like, was that God? I don't know. Amen. But we want it to be a blessing. Amen. Everything we do in life, in the kingdom of God, and it's all motivated out of love and compassion for other people. And it all comes back to, we are like little children, that we rest, trust in him, love him, and completely rely on him. And you know what? He's going to provide our needs according to riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. But I believe we're going to see a real paradigm shift. And I believe, just like we read, the wealth of the wicked will be laid up for the righteous. Amen. Not so that we can, you know, build our ivory towers, but that we can go in and actually, you know, the people on TV that do the fake giving and basically all they're doing is taking their money and funneling into another foundation and it all gets mixed around like they actually care about anybody, that we as Christians can actually go in there, feed people, help people, you know, see people get born again, get Bibles in their hands and things like that too. Amen. And I believe people in this church, God's going to use to raise you up for finances. It is not bad talking about money, and it is not bad having money. It's what you do with it and your attitude towards it. that really can determine, you know, your heart issue. But anyway, God, we come before you tonight. We thank you so much for your blessings and your love. Again, I just pray tonight over these people that we would expand our thinking, number one. Have a bigger thinking. Have a bigger vision, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Have bigger goals. And Lord, that we would see you like the book of Psalms says, that we would magnify you. Lord, you're already enormous, but Lord God, that we would magnify you in our mind and we would look to you like little children moving forward, that you are great, great Father in heaven. You live in us and upon us. And Lord, we worship you. We thank you that you're going to bring things into our lives to be able to help and bless not only your kingdom, but your people all over the world. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.